Yeah, so the Yantav of Shavuos is known by Chazal as Man Ka Matan Torah Seinu, of course, the time of Kabbalas HaTorah. In the Torah itself, we don't get any indication that the Yantav of Shavuos is connected with Kabbalas HaTorah. That comes more, from Chazal's perspective. But certainly is known as the day, of course, of Kabbalas HaTorah. I think it's important to just spend a moment thinking about or investigating, perhaps, what exactly did we receive at Maamad Har Sinai, and what perhaps developed afterwards, and how did we arrive at the situation where we currently are. It's a really important topic, with oftentimes we assume and we don't really focus on it independently because we're so busy with other things. Of course, if you just pay attention to the Psukim, you'll notice sometimes the Torah uses a language that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe, Bahar Sinai Lemor, right? In the beginning of Parashas Bahar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Other times, like at the beginning of Parashas Vayikra, the Torah says HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Me'oho Moed Lemor, he spoke to him from the tent of gathering. And other times, like in Parashas Chukas, the Torah says Ve'edaber Hashem El Moshe Ba'arvos Moyov, at the plains of Moav, Al Yarden Yerechai, when they were about to enter in Eretz Israel. So we have three times where HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to be communicating with Moshe Rabbeinu, Har Sinai, Oyel Moed, and Arvas Moav. And some of the mitzvahs were given, it sounds like, were given at each of these three locations. In fact, the Ma'abit writes in the Sefer Beis Elokim that we have Chamisha Chumshei Torah, generally, right? We generally assume we have Chamisha Chumshei Torah. There is an opinion in the Gemara that we actually have seven books of the Torah. But let's assume now for what we generally, the general position, which is we have Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and that corresponds to the five times, actually, that we received mitzvahs, or the development of the Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. The first installment of Kabbalas HaMitzvahs was in Mitzrayim, when the Klai Yisrael got the mitzvah of matzah and some of the dinim of Karban Pesach. And then we had a second installment of mitzvahs at Mara, where we received three more mitzvahs, together with the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Look over here, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, 10 mitzvahs Klal Yisrael received at Mara, on the way out of Mitzrayim to Har Sinai. We got the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and then Dinin, Shabbos, and Kibbut Aviyeh, three more mitzvahs in addition to the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. And of course, in addition to those mitzvahs that we received already in Mitzrayim. And then at Har Sinai, we of course received, the rest of the mitzvahs. And then, it sounds like also, some came at Oyel Moed and some came at Arvas Moed. So, in corresponding to these five times when we received mitzvahs, Mitzrayim, Mara, Har Sinai, Oyel Moed, and Arvas Moed, that's why the Ma'abit claims we actually have Chamisha Chumshei Torah. We have Chamisha Chumshei Torah. However, so it sounds like the Torah was given in these three times. But was it actually given at these three times, or were, or five times, or was, once Har Sinai came, everything was really said then, even though some of it might not have been taught to Klal Yisrael until later points in time. Meaning, certainly we received mitzvahs in Mitzrayim, we received mitzvahs in Mara. And then, but what happened at Har Sinai? Did we receive the rest of the mitzvahs then? Just Moshe Rabbeinu didn't teach it to Klal Yisrael, or perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu reiterated to Moshe Rabbeinu later, or did HaKadosh Baruch Hu explain it more later, or was everything really received at Har Sinai, in addition to that which they received in Mara and Mitzrayim beforehand? So that seems to be a machlekes in the Gemara Masechtas Chagiga between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Look over here, Rabbi Yisgimel, the sign of Rabbi Shmuel, Lomer, Klolo, is Nemru B'Sinai, Uprotos Bo'o Moed, that the general rules were told to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, and then there were details, though, that were filled in later on at Oyel Moed and presumably at Arvas Moed as well. So, according to Rabbi Shmuel, actually, the Torah was really given over five periods of time. According to Rabbi Kiva, though, no. Klolois uprotois nemer b'sinai. Everything was taught at Har Sinai. V'nishnu b'Oyel Moed. It was just repeated at Oyel Moed. V'nishtalshu b'Arvas Moed. And then it was, repeated for a third time at Arvas Moed. But nothing new necessarily was introduced at those later times. And that seems to be the way that Rashi, at the beginning of Parshas Bahar, simply assumes. He assumes, like Rebbe Kiva, that's why most assume as well, they're not even aware that there is the other opinion of Rebbe Shmuel, that details became filled in later on. We generally assume like Rebbe Kiva, because that's why Rashi writes at the beginning of Parshas Bahar, discussing why is Shemitah introduced with the words that, with the words Har Sinai, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe b'Har Sinai Lemor, Ma Inyan Shemitah, Eitza Har Sinai, what does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? Just like the mitzvah of Shemitah was given at Har Sinai, so too all of the mitzvahs were given at Har Sinai. Ma Inyan Shemitah, Eitza Har Sinai, says Rashi, V'Kola mitzvahs Nemru b'Sinai, weren't all the mitzvahs taught us at Har Sinai? Oma Shemitah, Nemru, Kloloseh, Pratoseh, V'Diktukeh, all of its details and its legalities were taught to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, Af Kula Nemru, all of its particulars were told to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai. That's following the opinion of Rebbe Kiva. Certainly, even according to Rebbe Kiva, though, there were certain mitzvahs that were filled in later. Even though we generally assume like Rabbi Akiva, and that's why Rashi seems to, if we want to call it Paskin, Rashi seems to Paskin like Rabbi Akiva, that while certain mitzvahs were given in Mitzrayim, other mitzvahs given in Mara, the rest of the mitzvahs were given at Arsinah, just happens to have been repeated at Arvus, at Oyel Moed and Arvus Mayav. There were certain mitzvahs that even according to Rabbi Akiva, he'll have to concede were taught later on, such as the parsha of Benoy Slavcha, the fact that daughters inherit and inherit their father in the absence of sons, right? That came about as a result of a Maisa Shahaya, when the Benoy Slavcha were frustrated that they weren't getting a chelek together with the other counterparts, and they approached Moshe Rabbeinu with a complaint. Or what about Pesach Sheni, which we just celebrated the other day, right? So Pesach Sheni happened as a result of those who were Tamei Benefesh and came to Moshe Rabbeinu to complain, Lama Nigara. Or the Mecharef Megadev, the one who ordered Mekoshesh Eitzin. There were certain incidents in the Torah where Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what the halacha was. He had to approach Kadosh Baruch Hu and ask, what should I do? And Kadosh Baruch Hu told him what to do. So clearly those were taught later on. So the Chazon Ish has one simen in his Sefer, an Or HaChaim, simen Kuf Kaf Hei, where he discusses the development of Torah and what exactly was given at Har Sinai. And he notes, even according to Rabbi Akiva, one will have to concede that there were certain mitzvahs that were taught later on. Over here, I say, "Raisa Chazanish." V'nei loy noimar b'sinai din mechalal Shabbos v'din megade for parshas Nachlois. Certain halachas certainly were said later on, as Chazal said, "Megagel and schusai de zakai." Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach it specifically through the drama and through the prompting of certain incidents along the way, in order to perhaps convey other messages too. However, these mitzvahs were clearly not told to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai. Mikol makom eino chasa mitayag mitzvahs b'Sinai. Says Chazanish, this doesn't detract from the complete nature of the tayag mitzvahs Moshe Rabbeinu received at Har Sinai. Bishvil zeh she'eino ela prate dinin. These are only details or perhaps addendums to the tayag mitzvahs. So the tayag mitzvahs were given to Moshe Rabbeinu in its entirety intact. There were certain details that perhaps were withheld in order so that they should be taught later on. At some, under somewhat different circumstances. Okay, so it's a machleik sinur of Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. What exactly did we get at Har Sinai? Did we just get the general rules, or did we get all of the Tayag mitzvahs? And we paskin, or seem to paskin, like Rabbi Akiva, we got all the Tayag mitzvahs with a few notable exceptions. However, when was the Torah written down? Was it written down immediately after Har Sinai? It was only written down, later. So, and how was it written down? Was it written down along the way? Or did Moshe Rabbeinu, go through all the events of the Torah and then sit down to write it down only at the end, of the Torah? So that's a further machlokes in the Gemara Masechtas Gittin between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Over here, Ois Vav. Rabbi Yochanan says the Torah was Megillah Nitna. What that means is that as the Klal Yisrael was traveling throughout the Midbar and experiencing the different things that they that they had to endure, so the Torah was written piecemeal along the way and then kind of woven together all the way at the end. So it was written in chronological order. Reish Lakish disagrees, and he holds no Torah chasuma nitna. The Torah was no one wrote anything down until they got all the way to the end of the Torah. That's when things started to become written down. That's the machlekesin Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Now, certainly, we have indications like Reish Lakish. Right? Rashi's opinion is on Chumash, a big machlekes between Rashi and the Ramban, a running machlekes throughout the Torah, is there muktam umeukha b'Torah? Is there an order in the parashas of the Torah, or can the parashas of the Torah be out of order? And Rashi holds, ein muktam umeukha b'Torah. You can't necessarily infer a certain chronology of events simply because that's the way it appears in the Torah. Now, that would imply that things were not written as they happened. If it was written as they happened, one would presume that there has to be a chronology here because they were written along the way. So A happened, A was written down. B happened, B was written down. C happened, C was written down. So there should, presumably be a certain chronology here. If it was all written down at the end, so then things might necessarily be out of order. It might be thematically arranged and not necessarily chronologically arranged. So Rashi seems to already assume, like Reish Lakish, the Torah Chasuma Nitna was all written down all the way at the end, not as it occurred. Moreover, though, right, that's the way the Psukim seem to indicate too, right? The Pasuk at the end, in Parshas Vayelech, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Va'ata kizvu lachem as a Shira Hazois. Now it's time to sit down and write the Torah. Or the pasuk says in Parshas Vayelech Sabrach because of Moshe Satorah Zos. Moshe Rabbeinu sat down to write the Torah. It never mentions anywhere beforehand that Moshe Rabbeinu was writing the Torah. So it seems to be that that we have other indications that seem to support Reish Lakish. I'm not here to adjudicate between a machlekes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. I wouldn't presume to adjudicate a machlekes achrayim, certainly not a machlekes reshaitim, and certainly not a machlekes between, you know, the great figures Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. However, the reshaitim already seem to take Reish Lakish's side, right? Rashi already in his commentary in Muktamu Meluchah B'Torah seems to be following Reish Lakish, and the Rambam in his Hakadama to the Arach Hazaka adopts Reish Lakish as the normative approach. The things were not written down as they occurred, not Megillah Nitna, but rather Torah Chasuma Nitna. It was all written down at the end. And the Chazon Ish here has something that if it would have been someone else who said this, we would have questioned, you know, whether or not this is permitted to say it. But the Chazon Ish already wrote it. Over here, Oy Zion, that same Simon Kuf Chav Hei, where the Chazon Ish discusses the development of Torah, he says that when Moshe Rabbeinu, actually, what it means, Torah Chasuma Nitna, is that there were a few manuscripts that were present, or there were different Lashonos that Moshe Rabbeinu received when certain mitzvahs were repeated. Again, let's put it all together, right? We hold like, or the Rishonim seem to assume like Rebbe Akiva, that the Torah was repeated three times. Yeah, but sometimes the language in which is used, right, in one time that it was said was at Har Sinai, it might be a different Lashon that you find with regards to Amoed, and then sometimes the mitzvah is repeated with a different Lashon in Sefer Dvarim from Arvas Mayav. So sometimes you have different languages, right, and if you were writing down exactly the way that the mitzvah was given at these different times, it sounds like it come somewhat in a different nusach, somewhat of a different formulation. So therefore, why does it say some mitzvahs were given at Har Sinai, some mitzvahs were given at Arvas Mayav, some mitzvahs were given at Oyel Moed, if they were repeated all three times? It's because they were given in somewhat of a different formulation each time. And when, Moshe Rabbeinu chose the formulation of Oyel Moed, it says it was given at Oyel Moed. When he chose the formulation that he received at Har Sinai, it says that it was given at Har Sinai. When he chose the formulation he received at Arvas Mayav, so then the Torah says it was written at Arvas Mayav. And Moshe Rabbeinu's job in compiling the Torah at the end of, you know, Parshas Vayelech, Parshas Vezayis HaBracha, was really to decide which one of the formulations to include where. So that's why the Chazon Ish writes, V'inego nistava Moshe b'ksivas and adayim v'lo mesiras on Yisrael b'mitzvahs miyuchadash and nistavas lo yimali Yisrael. There were certain mitzvahs. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't given to write it right away, just to communicate it to Klal Yisrael. Mikol makom lo nistava ksivas on mandamando Torah chasuma nitna. He wasn't commanded to write it down right away. It was repeated these three times, and he taught it to Klal Yisrael these three times. But look over here in the third line, and it's Tavah B'Ksivas and Lichtoy Ba'Oisa Loshon Hanemar Lo Ko Parshu Parshu B'Shoshin and Tavah Mesiras L'Yisrael. When he taught it to Klal Yisrael, it was given in somewhat of a different language, and that's the way he wrote it at that time that it occurred. V'Hay Bahen Mitzvah Shenichtavu B'Lushayna and Shenemar Lo B'Sinai. There were certain mitzvahs that he used the language or the formulation that he received at Har Sinai. Mitzvah Shenichtavu B'Lushayna and Shenemar Lo B'Amud. Sometimes he wrote down in the Torah the formulation received at Omer, v'yesh bo shaynan shabar v'smoyev, and sometimes he used the formulation that he got at v'smoyev, but again, he got all the Tariq mitzvahs at these three times. Sometimes he was told to teach it to Klal Yisrael, but Moshe Rabbeinu received it in its entirety at these three times. It was repeated three times. Sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu included more than one formulation, right? Sometimes in the Torah, you have a formulation that was given at Har Sinai, and sometimes you have a formulation that was given at Oyel Moed. Sometimes two mitzvahs appear twice with different formulations coming to teach us different wrinkles of the mitzvahs. But there are mitzvahs that only appear once at Oyel Moed, you know, with the language from Oyel Moed. There are mitzvahs that only appear once with the language at Arvas Mayav. And even though the mitzvahs were given at all three of these times, Moshe Rabbeinu, in his compiling, or if you want to call it editing, he wasn't doing it, of course, of his own. He was doing it based on the instructions of Hashem, but he included different formulations from the different times that he received the Torah. The whole point was to endow Moshe Rabbeinu with this kind of, authority in the writing of the Torah, to make Moshe Rabbeinu part of that process. So the Chazon Ish says that's why some of the mitzvahs are phrased as if it came to us at Har Sinai. Some of the mitzvahs are phrased as if it came to us at Oyel Moed and Arvas Mayav, because even though Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Rebbe Akiva, received the Torah in its entirety three times, sometimes, you know, the Torah included the language that was given at each one of these three instances, and we're not, you know, it's not all what was told at Har Sinai, not all what was told at Omer, not all what was told at Arvas Mayav. There are different formulations, and sometimes we find different formulations of different mitzvahs that appear, you know, based on the way that Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so we generally assume we receive, you know, like Rebbe Akiva, we receive the entirety of Torah Shebichtav at Har Sinai, even though it wasn't written down until all the way at the end of the Torah, and the mitzvahs were repeated twice at once at Omoid and then again at Arvos Moyov. What about the Torah Shebaal Peh? This is the Torah Shebasaf we received at Maamid Har Sinai. Did we receive the Torah Shebaal Peh then as well? So it sounds like, you know, we did. The pasuk says over here in Parshas Bechukaisai Oiskas Eila Chukim VaMishpatim HaTorahis Asher Nasan Hashem Beino Bein Yisrael Bahar Sinai Biyad Moshe. So the Torah uses the language ha-toyrois, which is Beloshin Rabin, in the plural. What is toyrois? So Rashi writes on Chumash and Parashas Bechukosai, achas b'ksav, achas b'alpeh, magit, shekulav nitnu l'moshe b'sinai. So it says both the Torah Shebasav, both the Torah Shebalpeh were given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And that is the implication of the famous comment of the Talmud Yerushalmi Masechtas Peah, which tells us Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Vagada, the Torah Shebasav, the Mishnayos, the later commentaries, or the, you know, the Midrashim, afilu mashe Talmud vasik osel lahoyrais, even that which a legitimate Talmud Chacham will develop or will originate in Torah, right? Everyone has their ois, their chidushim that are unique to them, their perspective that they bring to Limud HaTorah, which is critical. All of those chidushi Torah were already revealed to, if they're legitimate, were already revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. So it sounds like we received everything at Maamid Har Sinai. Of course, there were, you know, certain parts of the Torah Shebaal Peh, or maybe the Torah Shebaal Peh in its entirety, we didn't receive at Maamid Har Sinai the first time, right? There were two sets of luchos. There was the first set of luchos and the second set of luchos. The Gemara says Masechtas Tainis. When did we receive the second set of luchos? We received the second set of luchos on Yom HaKippurim. We received the first set right on Shavuos. Klal Yisrael then sinned with the Chet HaEgel before Moshe Rabbeinu came down. Moshe Rabbeinu had to, you know, after the 40 days and Shavuos V'Tamuz broke the first set of luchos. Then Moshe Rabbeinu went up to receive the second set of luchos on Rosh Chodesh Elul and came down on Yom HaKippurim with the second set of luchos. Immediately after that, we started building the Mishkan right on the first day, and the Mishkan, you know, on the first day of Sukkot. But we received the second set of luchos at the time on Yom HaKippurim. That's why Yom HaKippurim, the Gemara says, is a great day in Masechtas Tainis, not only because it's the day of Slicha Mechila, it's a day that we're Makabo, the second set of luchos. And the Beis HaLevi has in his drushes, drusha Yud Ches. He has a number of drushes at the back of Shalos and Shuvis. The most famous one is drusha Yud Ches, the 18th drusha, where the Beis HaLevi develops the notion that in the first set of luchos was the Torah Shebasav and the Torah Shebalpeh. It was all written down. There was no distinction between them, because Klal Yisrael was meant to remain in Eretz Yisrael, and they were never supposed to go into Galus, and the Torah would remain with them. It would be their unique connection with Hashem. However, after the first set of luchos were broken, Klal Yisrael simdil chet ha'ego, the Gemara says, Masechtas Erevin, it was decreed upon them that they would have to suffer through a prolonged period of the Galus. In Galus, the Torah, if the Torah would have been written down, it would have been, you know, it would have been confiscated from us. Other nations of the world would have taken the Torah, and in fact, we've seen in our time, right? I don't see it, I don't know if we have it anymore, but there used to be a Bible, right, in every hotel room, at least throughout the United States. I doubt that that's true anymore. But the Ummah Haylam have certainly, you know, adopted many of the, you know, the Bible for whatever their own purposes are. And it's certainly not unique to Klal Yisrael anymore. So in order to preserve HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unique relationship with the Jewish people, he gave us, or he took away the Torah Shebaal Peh from the Torah Shebasav, he separated between the two, and he gave us the Torah Shebaal Peh, which was meant to remain as an oral tradition that would be unique to the Jewish people. And that would preserve our special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Beis HaLevi says that that's why at the time of the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu saw the letters flying away from the Luchos. What were those letters that they were flying away? That was the Torah Shebaal Peh, because now Klal Yisrael was going to have to suffer through the Golos. They needed a part of Torah that would remain oral, then which would preserve their special relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So when did we, you know, the Torah Shebaal Peh and the Torah Shebasav really became divided, according to the Beis HaLevi, on, you know, when we received the second set of luchos, which is not at, you know, on Shavuos, you know, at the first Maamid Har Sinai, but the second Maamid Har Sinai, when we received the second set of luchos, you know, all of it occurred at that point. Does that mean, though, that, you know, everything, literally everything was given at Maamid Har Sinai? In which case, I mean, the entirety of Torah Shebaal Peh as it we have it today, in which case, all of the machlekes that we have, all of the dispute as to what the halacha is it this or that, you know, we'd have to somehow figure out how did that happen. So, you know, is it only because we forgot? Or maybe because someone, you know, isn't being honest in terms of what we received, or, you know, the tradition was interrupted. How do we have so much machlokes and doubt in halacha if every single thing was received by Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. So in fact, that is the opinion of the Gaonim. The Rambam in his Hakdama to the Perush HaMishnayos kind of has like a Hakdama to all of Torah Shebaal Peh, and the Rambam there cites the opinion of the Gaonim that all Machlekes that we have in Torah Shebaal Peh is a result of forgetfulness, or the interruption of a tradition, because Klal Yisrael had to migrate from different lands throughout the Golos. And we forgot. But Ein Hakinami, we should take this Yushalmi at face value, that everything, Torah Shebaal Peh that exists today was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, just we happen to have forgotten a few things along the way. Rav Hirsch actually adopts this opinion of the Gaonim in his disputes with the, when he's fighting the conservative and the reform, who argued, well, if you can, you know, legislate, if Chazal can legislate in Torah, why can't we as well? So Rav Hirsch said, no one is allowed. We're just recreating, we're trying to reconstruct what was given at Har Sinai, but we have really no part in this process, and there's no creativity that's human beings contribute. The entirety of Torah was given to us by, Kadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai. We're just trying to recreate and reconstruct what we were given. However, the Rambam makes the powerful case not like the Gaonim. No, the Torah was not given as it exists today to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. What was given was raw material and the Yud Gimel Midos Shatara Nidreshes Bahem, the tools with which to interpret the Torah. But then it was given to human beings to develop. That's the Rambam's position, and he's basing himself on a really important Gemara, Maseches Menachos, over here, Yisud, where the Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was Har Sinai receiving the Torah, so he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you making me write all these crowns on the top of the letters? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, because there'll be a Talmud Chacham in later generations who will learn out Tili Mishal Halachas from all of these crowns, from all of these Targum. Who will that be? That will be Rebbe Kiva. So Moshe Rabbeinu asked, he said, well, let me see this Rebbe Kiva. I want to know who I'm doing this for. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of transported him into the class of Rebbe Kiva, and he was sitting in the back of the room, and the Gemara says he didn't understand anything that Rebbe Kiva was saying until Rebbe Kiva got up to, some question that a Talmud asked, and Rebbe Kiva had no, source for it in the Torah until he got to the word. And so, he responded, and he said, well, it must be a halacha l'moshe misinai. And once Moshe Rabbeinu heard that there's still a halacha l'moshe misinai, they're still mentioning him. I don't think he was looking for a shout-out. What it means is that they were still on the same path that he had envisioned, or the Torah that he had received. Then he knew, he was comforted and consoled that they, that this was a further development of the Torah. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand anything else, meaning the other drushes that Rabbi Kiva was making, Moshe Rabbeinu was unfamiliar with. The halacha l'moshe misinai, that he knew. So that he said, they're still on the same page as me, but they have taken it further than he had received, at Maimon Har Sinai. He had received raw material, raw data, right, the Torah Shebasav, and the tools with which to mine it. But it wasn't, it wasn't as developed as it was in the time of Rebbe Kiva. So Rambam says, well, how could this be? It must be that we weren't given the Torah in its entirety, as it exists today. We were given the materials and the Yugam HaMidah Shetar Nidresh of him. And that's where the Rambam writes in the second paragraph of Hilchos Mamrim, that if you have a Beis Din that wants to disagree with an earlier Beis Din, generally they have to be Gadol Mimenu B'Chachma V'Minyan. They have to be greater in number and in wisdom, in stature and in status. However, if that's only if they're disagreeing about a matter of policy, about a din d'rabbanan, a gzeira, or a takana, but if it's about how to interpret the Torah with the Yud Gimel Midrash, a turn of dreshes for him, no, then we apply the rule, Ein Lecha El Shefet Shebi Yamecha, Yiftach B'Dara Kishmul B'Dara. Everybody's entitled, if you're in the same category, relatively speaking, certain people are entitled to darshan the Torah using the Yud Gimel Midrash, and if a person is legitimately doing so, he can even disagree with earlier generations, even if he's not gadol mimenu b'chachma uv'minyan. But what do you see from this? You see from this that the Torah Shebaal Peh is constantly developing. What then does the Yushalmi mean when Yushalmi said we received the entirety of Torah Shebaal Peh Maimed Har Sinai, even that which Talmidei Chacham and future generations will originate in Torah? So what that probably means is, the way it's been interpreted by many others since the time of the Gaonim, what it probably means is that everything was contained there in potential. Meaning that all of those Chidushin, that every Talmud Vasek will be Mechadesh, if it's correct and it's legitimate, is already contained in the information and the rules that Moshe Rabbeinu received at Har Sinai. And potential, but not necessarily kinetically, that it actually was given, articulated to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. So the Torah Shebaal Peh, was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai as well, if not the first time, at least at the time of the second set of Luchos, if not on Shavuos, at least on Yom Kippur, but at least according to the Rambam, it wasn't given in its entirety the way we have it today. It was given, perhaps in a less developed form. Look, parenthetically, this is a little scary. that means that people involved in this process, you know, things can go way off the rails. You know, it's a little scary. So I think that's why the Rambam has as one of his Yud Gimel Ikrei Amunah that a person has to believe that the Torah that we have today, Zoysa Torah, is the same Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And what do we mean by that? What do we mean by that Yud Gimel Midah Shatarni Zoysa? That Yud, one of the Ikrei Amunah, one of the 13 principles of faith is that a person has to believe the Torah that we have today was the same Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. That doesn't mean that, right, that every part of the Torah Shebaal Peh was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. What it means is that the process is developing in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu envisioned when he gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Of course, there are things that have developed later, but what I'm using the data and the principles that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, what it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding that process to make sure that it maintains its integrity and that it follows the path that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had always envisioned. It's theologically, you know, impossible to assume otherwise, right? Because if we assume a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as we should, right, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved not only in the general trends of the world, Hashgacha Klalis, but even Hashgacha Pratis, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved in each one of our lives, and maybe even beyond, you know, every Jew's life, every blade of grass only grows because of Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's a Malach that comes and commands it to grow. If a person stubs its toes because of Gzeira Min HaShamayim, how can we possibly entertain the thought that the Torah can develop outside of the control of the Ribbono Shel Olam? The Torah, which itself is the name, the representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, of course, has to develop, you know, in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, that is that maintains, you know, the purpose for which it was given to us. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding the process, and therefore we can say in the Yud Gimel, you know, Ikrei Amunah, that the Torah that we have today is the same Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, even though there were certainly things that developed later. What it means is that it's following the path that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had envisioned. Okay, so we receive the Torah Shebasav, we receive the Torah Shebaal Peh, all at Har Sinai, if not the Torah Shebaal Peh in its developed form, but the Torah Shebaal Peh, you know, with the Torah Shebasav and the rules that were given to use or to derive the principles of the Torah Shebaal Peh in potential. The Gemara says in Masechtas Megillah, though, that we got even more. Look over here, the Gemara Masechtas Megillah, as you base, Kasu B'Torah, K'sav Zoyz Yikaron B'Sefer, right? When Moshe Rabbeinu was writing down the Torah in, no, this has to do with the parish of Amalek, right? K'sav Zoyz Yikaron B'Sefer V'Simba, is not Yehoshua. So K'sav Zoyz, says the Gemara, Masha Kosov Kanu B'Mishnah Torah, you should write down in the Sefer Torah what's written here and what's in the Mishnah Torah, meaning the parish of Amalek and parish of B'Shalach and the one that's in Kisetze, Zikaron, Masha Kosov B'Nevi'im, B'Sefer Masha Kosov B'Megillah, right? Amalek, the parish of Amalek is in parish of B'Shalach, it's in parish of Kisetze, it's also in Sefer Shmuel, and then later on in Megillah's Esther. So Amalek appears numerous times. But you have already an allusion in the Torah, then, to things that will be written in the Nevi'im. So were the Nevi'im also, was Nach also given at Ma'amid Har Sinai, or did that happen later? So look over here, the Gemara itself is Baruchis, comments on the Pasuk, Ve'edna l'chaz luchos ha'evin, ba'atayra mitzah sher kosavti l'hayraisam. The Pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim describes that which was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in the previous parasha in Parashas Yisrael. And the Gemara says, Luchais, Elu Aseres Hadibros, that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai, the Aseres Hadibros, Torah Ze Mikra, that's Torah Shebasav, HaMitzvah Zu Mishnah, that's Torah Shebaal Peh, Asher Kasavti, Elu Nevi'im V'Ksuvim. So Nevi'im and Ksuvim were also given at Ma'amid Har Sinai, Lo Hayraisam, Ze Talmud, Malame, Chekulam Nitnu L'Moshe Misinai. All of them were really given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Well, so everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. In fact, the Shita Mekubetzes in Bava Kama on Daf Beis, right, so that's why we refer to things that appear in Nach as Divrei Kabbalah, because those were also Mekubal to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu received them at Har Sinai. Rashi writes in Chulin a different reason, Kuf Lamed Zayin, why Divrei, you know, things that appear in Nach are called Divrei Kabbalah, not because we receive them at Ma'amid Har Sinai, but rather because it's Mekubal and Merutza for whatever generation the Navi happens to be talking to. Meaning these are messages the generation needed to hear. So it was things that were Mekubal and in the time and in the context. However, the Shita Mekubetzes says it's called Divrei Kabbalah because we receive them at Ma'amid Har Sinai. The problem is, the Gemara itself is Baba Basra, in the first parak discusses, well, who wrote the Sifrei, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim? So the Gemara says, well, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah, Parshas Bilam, for whatever reason, Parshas Balak is referred to as a separate parasha. We're not going to discuss that now. And Eov, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Sefer Eov. Yehoshua wrote his pasuk, and the last day psukim in the Torah. Shmuel, you know, wrote you know, other svarim. David wrote other svarim. These people lived after Maimon Har Sinai, of course, right? So how could it be that we received the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim at Maimon Har Sinai if these people who wrote these Sfarim didn't live until afterwards? So there's a beautiful article about this whole topic in a journal called Yeshurun, the popular Torah journal. There's an article there by Rav Zelig Epstein, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, used to be the Rosh Yeshiva in Shara Torah in Queens. I had the source of meeting with him and interacting with him many times. He was the Das Torah, the Hashkafic guide for my wife and I when we first got married, and a few in Yon. He's really an unbelievable person. So Rav Zelig has in this article about the development of Tanakh that's printed in this journal Yeshurun, that perhaps what the Gemara means over here is that we were given a heter, meaning it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu the possibility of adding Sifrei Nevi'im and Ksuvim, even though, of course, they were written later on. It wasn't given at Har Sinai in its current form, right? The Sefer Shmuel wasn't given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. What was given to Moshe Rabbeinu was the license to write Sfarim that would later on be part or become part of the Torah. If not, right, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, but in a lesser, one removed from the Torah, and Sifrei Nevi'im. But he was given, you have to have a heter to do that. You have to have a license to add Sfarim to what was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And now that's what it means, that these things were given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. It means that he was given the license. He was given the license to do it. Does that mean that these Sfarim now become part of Torah Shebichtav, or they, remain one peg removed, and are not considered to be Torah Shebichtav, but, perhaps some other, category, perhaps, Torah Shebaal Peh. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has in his Hakadama to the Emes LeYaakov, that's his parish on Chumash, of course, that he believes the Nevi'im and Ksuvim have the status of Torah Shebaal Peh. It doesn't have the status of Torah Shebichtav, because, right, the language that's found in the Sifrei Nevi'im was the language of the Nevi'im themselves. They were given a vision, at Nevu'ah, you see a vision, and then it's up to the Navi to describe it. That's why the Gemara says, Ein shnei Nevi'im misnabim b'signoi nechod. You don't ever have two Nevi'im who use the exact same language to describe the same scene, because even though they're seeing the same picture, if you and I were to describe the same picture, we probably would not use, unless someone was plagiarizing, we would probably not use the same language, because people perceive things through their own experiences and, opinions and whatever, biases we bring to the table. That's how we perceive what's going on around us. So the Navi will describe his Nevuah based on his personality and his experiences. So Ein Shnei Nevi'im Misnabim Misigun Echad. So says Rabbi Yaakov, if the language is that of the Navi, it certainly cannot be Torah Shebichtav. It's our language, it's human language, it has to be Torah Shebaal Peh. Rav Zelig Epstein, and this is the same opinion as Rabbi Gifter, has an article about this also in a journal called Moria. They both argue that the Sifrei Nevi'im have the status of Torah Shebichtav, not Torah Shebaal Peh, and they quote a Ramban, whose opinion is that you can actually use the Yud Gimel Midrash Torah Nidreshes Bohem that we use to the Darshan and derive halachas from the Torah Shebichtav. We can use that not only in the Chumash, but in the Sifrei Nevi'im as well. Then Rav Zelig goes on to demonstrate that perhaps this Nakuda itself is a Machlekes Rishonim. What is the status of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Ksuvim? Are they Torah Shebichtav or are they Torah Shebaal Peh? Because the Gemara says in Masechtas Gittin, over here, Samach Amid Aleph, a well-known rule that appears also in Masechtas Tmura, that the Torah Shebichtav has to remain Bichtav. The Torah Shebaal Peh has to remain Baal Peh. There's really an Iser to write down Torah Shebaal Peh. How do we have Mishnah? How do we have Gemara that's all written down? The Gemara Masechtas Tmura explains that there came a time when they knew the Torah was going to be forgotten if it wasn't written down. And based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Eis Lasos Lashem Heferus Arasecha, sometimes a time presents itself, a circumstance presents itself, that we have to violate one of the mitzvahs of the Torah in order to accomplish something great, to preserve another one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. And this is an instance of that, a kind of Avera Lishma, in order to accomplish something great. But the Torah Shebichtav, this is not only Torah Shebaal Peh shouldn't be written down, Torah Shebichtav should not be said Baal Peh. So Taisus and Masechtas Tmura, right, each method or each form of Torah is supposed to remain in the form in which it was given. So Taisus and Masechtas Tmura asked, but 1 minute, we say Psukim, of Tehillim or, Nevi'im and Ksuvim all the time, Baal Peh. Vim Toimar, Hechi Kamrina, Mizmoirim, Baal Peh. People say Tehillim all the time, Baal Peh. How do you do that? You're not allowed to say Tvar Dharm Shebichtav, Baal Peh. So Taisa says, no, only Chumash you're not allowed to do that. Not Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Yeshua, they in the Hakbid, Rak Masha, Kosib, Bechumash. Not what it says in the Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Implying Nevi'im and Ksuvim are not Torah Shebichtav. Nevi'im and Ksuvim are Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's why you can say Psukim in Tanakh You know, in Nevi'im and Ksuvim or in Tehillim, Baal Peh. Then Tosfos brings another opinion. Oh, maybe it is Torah Shebichtav, but Ein Lahakbidol B'Davar Shemaitzi Yedei Chayvos Acherim Yedei Chayvosam. The only time you have to be careful about this is if you're being Maitzi Acherim Yedei Chayvosam, either in Kriyas HaTorah or Kriyas HaHaftorah and things like that. Then you have to lein Mitoch HaKsav. This is why the Vilna Gaon was makbid to lein the HaFtorah every Shabbos from a proper Navi. Because if you're being moiti acherim yidei chayvosim of haftarah, you can't read it from a printed chumash that has the status of baal peh. It's not considered to be mitarech haksav, so the Vilna Gaon was makbid either to read along the haftarah with the baal kairi if he's laning from a chumash, or that the baal kairi should lane it from a cloth in order to make sure that if you're being moiti acherim yidei chayvosim, it's mitarech haksav and not baal peh. But that's assuming, the second answer of Tosfos assumes, that Nevi'im and Ksuvim are also considered to be tarsh b'chsav that have to remain b'chsav. The first opinion in Tosfos was that no, that's only Chumash. That doesn't include Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and it seems to be that they're arguing about what is the status of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Are they tarsh b'chsav, or are they tarsh baal peh? But certainly, that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, and what we mean by that is that the license to add Svarim to the Torah, to the Chumash, was given to Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. But were these Nevi'im and Ksuvim always like known that these books were part of Tanakh? Or was there somehow some process, you know, by which they became included and maybe some debate about it along the way? So if you look at the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, the Gemara says Masechet Shabbos, well, before you even get to that, the Gemara says in Masechet Megillah over here, Ois Tezvav, that there were many, many Nevi'im that Klal Yisrael had throughout the generations. Look, Ois Tezvav, the Gemara says, Harbe Nevi'im, Amdu L'Hem Yisrael, Kiflaim Ki Yotzim Mitzrayim. Double the number of Jews who left Mitzrayim, we had Nevi'im throughout our history. But only that Nevu'ah that was Nitzrecha L'Dairos was Nechtava, V'Shalai Hitzrecha Loi Nechtava. That Nevu'ah that had eternal implications, things that would be necessary for later generations, was written down. That did not have eternal implications and lessons, was not written down. Right? Sometimes there's a muster that's needed for this generation that wouldn't necessarily make sense, right, in another generation. So that kind of muster wasn't written down. But the muster that translates to every generation, that's what was written down. And in fact, the Rambam's opinion is, over here, Oysir Ches, that Lassid Lavoi, you know, much of the Nevi'im, we won't need anymore. So therefore, the Rambam says, Kol Sifrei Nevi'im, Kol Aksuvim, Asidim, Libata, L'Maisa Mashiach. L'Maisa Mashiach, we won't need all of it. All we'll need is the Chumash and Megillas Esther. The Ravid disagrees, and he says, no, the rest of the Sfarim, of course, we will need, and will continue to, you know, to teach us many lessons. But there were many Nevi'im, you know, that Kaiso had. Presumably, they had writings too, and their writings were not included in Tanakh. It was only those writings that have, you know, an eternal message. Was there any debate along the way as terms of which Sfarim should be included and which not? So if you look in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, the Gemara is discussing whether or not Koheles should be allowed to continue to be used. The Gemara says there were Bikshu Chachamim Lignoi Sefer Koheles. Chachamim wanted to be Goynes Sefer Koheles, or because there were contradictions in Sefer Koheles, and perhaps negative lessons. But since it begins with Torah and it ends with Torah, they left it. Or Chazal wanted to, or talked about being Goynes Sefer Mishle, again, because there seem to be things that contradict each other, you know, about whether Simcha is good or Simcha is not good, and all these different things. So it sounds like they were thinking about being Goynes Sefer Mishle. Does that mean that these Sfarim, you know, there was a debate about whether or not they were included in Tanakh? You know, you could interpret it that way, but at the same time, if a book is not holy, there would be no reason to be Goynes it, right? You only are Goynes things that are Kisvei HaKodesh. If it's not Kisvei HaKodesh, you throw it in the garbage. You're not Goynes it. Goynes it means it to be, you know, buried properly and treated with Kedusha. So from the very fact that they wanted to be Goynes it already sounds like it was presumed that it was part of Tanakh. However, there is a Mishnah. There's a similar Gemara, by the way, Masechtas Chagiga about Sefer Yechezkel. There were certain things they wanted to, you know, they wanted to be Goynes it because there are certain contradictions. Again, from the fact they wanted to remove it, sounds like there was a debate whether it was part of Tanakh. However, at the same time, from the fact that they were Goynes it, sounds like, and that didn't, you know, no one suggested throwing it out, you know, regularly. Sounds like, of course, it was part of Tanakh, and therefore it required Geniza. Just they approached it a little bit more cautiously than they might have other Sfarim in Tanakh that don't have these contradictions. The Mishnah, though, Masechtas Yadayim, discusses a Gzeira that Chazal made in a later generation that appears in Masechtas Shabbos and Perek B'Mei Mavlikin, that what happened was that people used to hide their Truma, because the Truma had to remain Tahar. So where's the only place that you can be sure something will be Tahar? Is in the Aron Kodesh. No one whose tummy is going to touch the Aron Kodesh. So What they did was they hid their truma in the Aron Kodesh. However, when you put food in an Aron Kodesh, what is sure to follow is a mouse, right? There's a, you know, vermin. So the rats came to find the food, the truma that was in the Aron Kodesh, and because of that, they were nibbling away at the Kisvei HaKodesh. So in order to avoid this problem, the Chazal decreed that all of Kisvei HaKodesh that are found in the Aron should be metameis hayadayim. They should be metame your hands, and if you touch them, you can no longer, therefore, eat truma, because your hands will now become tame. So they were geizer on Kisvei HaKodesh that they should be metameis es hayadayim. But which svarim are metameis hayadayim is a machlokes tanoim. Look over here in the Mishnah Masechtas Yadayim. Kisvei HaKodesh metameis hayadayim. Shir Hashim v'koheles metameis hayadayim. Shir Hashim and koheles are. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Shir Hashim metameis hayadayim. Koheles is a machlokes. A whole machlokes is Shir Hashirim. Koheles are they metameis hayadayim and they're not metameis hayadayim. Then Rabbi Kiva gets offended. How could you suggest Shir Hashim is not metameis hayadayim? Shir Hashim is Kodesh Kadoshim versus all the other Kisvei HaKodesh are only Kodesh. Whatever Rabbi Kiva means in terms of the unique role of Shir Hashirim. However, there seems to be a debate whether or not Shir Hashirim and Koheles were metameis hayadayim. Does that mean that there was a machlekes about whether or not these Svarim were included as Kisvei HaKodesh, included in Tanakh? Or there's a Gemara Masechtas Megillah that has a debate, a further debate, whether Esther is metameis hayadayim. And the Gemara seems to presume that that hinges upon whether or not Esther was written Beruach HaKodesh or Esther was not written Beruach HaKodesh. If you have a Gemara Masechtas Megillah, you know this causes the Gemara to go off on a long tangent. That, you know, Esther, of course, was written Beruach HaKodesh, and the Gemara gives numerous examples how you know Esther was written Beruach HaKodesh, because there are things that are stated by Esther and Mordechai that there's no way they could have known them without Ruach HaKodesh. However, there is a machlekes whether Esther is metameis hayadayim, whether Esther was written Beruach HaKodesh. Does this mean there was a machlekes whether Esther was part of Tanakh or not part of Tanakh? So the Bible scholars claim that that's exactly what's being debated here. The canonization of Tanakh, they believe, didn't happen until around the first century. CE, or maybe, you know, right around there, that's when Tanakh became formalized, or what they call canonized, and the books that are part of Tanakh became part of Tanakh, and the books that were excluded became excluded. However, that's not the traditional approach. So Dr. Lyman is a professor in Revel, but he's an unbelievable Talmud Chacham. Oh, Dr. Lyman is the best of the best. And it's tzaddik, oh, fantastic. If you have the schus to interact with Dr. Lyman Ashrecha, Dr. Lyman's fantastic. And he's so on the money with everything. Oh, fantastic. So Dr. Lyman has wrote his a book about this called The Canonization of Tanakh. And he argues, no, that's not what's being debated here. He says, of course, all of these Sfarim were always part of Tanakh. And Koheles was part of Tanakh. That's why they wanted to be Goinezit. You have to put in Geniza. You can't just throw it away because it was part of Tanakh. And the Machlekes over here with the Shir Hashirim, Koheles, and Esther, Metameis Yadayim was a Machlekes about Tumas Yadayim. Nothing to do with which Svarim are included in Tanakh or which Svarim are not included in Tanakh. Why should certain Svarim, though, not be Metameis Yadayim if others are? So it could be because these three Svarim are the only three Svarim in Tanakh that we have, right? Koheles, Shir Hashirim, and Esther, the three Svarim that are debated whether it should be metameis hayadayim, that do not have the shame Havaya. Shir Hashirim and Esther don't have the shame Havaya or the shame Elikim, and Koheles has the shame Elikim but doesn't have the shame Havaya. So these are the only three Svarim that we have in Tanakh that do not have the shame Havaya. So maybe Tumas Yadayim, or, you know, the Gzeir of Tumas Yadayim, again, which was motivated by what? Let's say the mice eats Kisvei HaKodesh. What's so bad if a mouse eats Kisvei HaKodesh? Because it's going to lead to a Mechikas Hashem. You're going to erase the name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is prohibited to allow that to occur. But that's only by Svarim that have a Shem Hashem in them. If there's no Shem Hashem, then there isn't a concern necessarily in the first place. So that's why there was a Machlekes, whether Shir Hashirim, whether Koheles, whether Esther, Metameis Hayadayim. And not Metameis Hayadayim, because they don't have a Shem Hashem there in the first place, which would trigger the Gzera that they should be Metameis Hayadayim. So that's why the debate about Ruach HaKodesh also is tangential. Of course it was part of Tanakh. It was never what was under debate. These Sfarim knew, you know, when they were given with that kind of foreknowledge that these Sfarim were going to be needed L'dayrois, and they were immediately included in Tanakh. There was no process, you know, of human beings debating which Sfarim should be in Tanakh, which Sfarim should not be in Tanakh. It sounds like that was something that was known through a period of Ruach HaKodesh. You know, and not because of some debate that took place over here in the Tanam. This is the debate about only the Gzeira of Tumas Yadayim. What then is the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim, right? Why are some books referred to as Nevi'im, some books referred to as Ksuvim? So the Bible scholars have a fantastic teretz. Their teretz is, because some Sfarim were accepted earlier, right, as part of the canonization of Tanakh, those were referred to as Nevi'im. Then there were some Sfarim that were accepted later, and those were referred to as Ksuvim. That's why we have these distinctions between these categories of Nevi'im and Ksuvim, because they were canonized at different times. But if we take the more traditional approach, that these Sfarim, the Frumer approach, that these Sfarim were always, you know, they knew would be part of Tanakh, why are some labeled as Nevi'im and some labeled as Ksuvim? We might be tempted to say because they took place or were articulated at different times, one in an earlier period, one in a later period. But we can't say that, because the Gemara says in Baba Basra, right, Shmuel wrote Sefer Shmuel, Sefer Shaftim, and Rus. Well, Rus, if they were all written by the same person, some of them are Nevi'im, some of them are in Ksuvim. Shmuel and Shaftim are in Nevi'im, Rus is in Ksuvim. Or David HaMelech wrote, Yirmiyahu wrote his Sefer, which is in Nevi'im, but he also wrote Eicha. Eicha is in Ksuvim. So we have the same authors writing certain books, which are Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah, and say for Eiyov. Eiyov is in Ksuvim. So how could it be that you have the same person writing different Sfarim, some of which are in Nevi'im, some of which are in Ksuvim, if it's a historical distinction? So that's what leads the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim to claim that this is not a historical distinction. It's a distinction in terms of the level of inspiration, the level of divine inspiration that a person had when he wrote that Sefer. Right? Torah, of course, is on its unique madrega. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking mitoch groino shel Moshe Rabbeinu. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking through Moshe Rabbeinu's throat to Klal Yisrael. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words. But beyond that, you have Sifrei Nevi'im. Sifrei Nevi'im, the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim, was given at the highest level of divine inspiration that's below Shechina Medaberes mitoch groino, which is Nevuah. Nevuah, a person sees an image, and then it's his job to describe the image in his language. That's Nevi'im. Ksuvim was given at one madrega less than Nevuah, known as Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh means a person has divine inspiration, but not that I see a clear vision of what it's, you know, upon me to describe, or at least a vision that's somewhat murky. It's more a person has a divine spirit that motivates him, that inspires him, but not to the same level as Nevuah. So the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim is in the level of inspiration that was involved. I mean, you could have one person at some times of his life has Nevuah, at other times in his life has only Ruach HaKodesh. And that's why, you know, Eiyov could be Ruach HaKodesh of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's in Ksuvim. The Torah, of course, the Shechina, but the Baris Mitoch Groino. It doesn't all have to be one. The problem is, though, that's the Rambam's approach in Mor Nevuchim. The problem is, what about Sefer Daniel? Daniel wasn't a Navi, but yet Sefer Daniel appears in Ksuvim and doesn't appear in Nevi'im. So how could that be? So that's what leads the Abarbanel in his Hakdama to Sefer Yehoshua, which is lengthy, and he discusses many, many critical issues there in his Hakdama to Sefer Yehoshua, some things which are really would be on the pale. But anyway, the Abarbanel has a Hakdama to Sefer Yehoshua. He discusses many of these issues, and he claims, no, that there's a different distinction. How could it be Daniel was a Navi? Why are his writings in Ksuvim and not in Nevi'im? So therefore, the Abarbanel distinguishes in a different way, that there's a distinction between Musar, that's Sefer Nevi'im, vis-a-vis Ksuvim, which is, you know, kind of history, and Chachma, like Koheles, you know, that's what's found in Ksuvim. And Nevi'im is a little bit more, you know, in terms of Sifrei Musar. So it's a genre difference in terms of not a level of inspiration as the Rambam had in Mor Nevuchim, but a genre in terms of what are the focus of these two, you know, the books that are in the category called the Nevi'im and the books that are in the category called the Ksuvim is more a genre difference. Reb Chaim had his own distinction that the different Nevi'im was meant to be articulated. It was written down later on, as opposed to Ksuvim, which is Kishmoy Kenhu. Ksuvim was always meant to be written. It was given as a written text. And that's what it seems like it is from the Gemara Masechtas Megillah back in Oisyud Beis. The Gemara's comment in the Pasuk in Parashas B'Shalach, Ksuv Zoy Zikaron B'Sefer, Zikaron is Nevi'im, B'Sefer is Kisuvim, or Megillas Esther. So Ksuvim, or Reb Chaim, I think Reb Chaim added, that's why when we say in Rosh Hashanah Davening, we quote a Pasuk in Navi, we say Al Yedei HaNevi'im Kasuv Leimor. It was given through the Nevi'im, but when we quote Ksuvim, it's Bedivrei Kachecha Kasuv Leimor. Meaning it was meant to be written down, so it's Bedivrei Kachecha, but Al Yedei HaNevi'im, it was meant to be articulated by the Nevi'im, and then it was later written down. That's why Nevi'im are described somewhat differently. Okay, so Rabbi, I think it's important to keep in mind what was received at Har Sinai, what perhaps, you know, developed later, just so we understand, you know, how all of these things developed. And I get a great musa from this. I think there's a tremendous lesson. And that is, you know, the Pasuk says in Parashas Yisroi, at the time of Kabbalah Satayra, there was a great shofar blowing. Vayhi kol ha-shofar holeich v'chazik miyod. And the sound of the shofar got greater as time went on. Rashi says, which of course is a miracle. Usually sound gets weaker as it goes on. Here, the sound gets stronger as it goes on. So the Netziv writes in his commentary, the Hemek Dover, in the footnotes there, known as the Herchav Dover, that Tarash Shabal Peh continues to develop more and more in the Golos. Right, in the period of the Bayis Rishon, there wasn't as much Tarash Shabal Peh as we have today. Tarash Shabal Peh, perhaps because Tarash Shabal Peh was meant for the Golos, as the Beis HaLevi explained, to preserve a unique relationship with Hashem, it develops more and more, you know, during the period of the Golos. And the more dark and the more grim things become, the more the Tarash Shabal Peh continues to develop. So from the understanding of how Torah develops, I think it really frames our perspective of Torah today as well, that however, you know, much sometimes the circumstances around us get a little bit more difficult and a little bit more challenging, that itself is what propels the Torah to continue to develop and to continue to get stronger and allow that sound of the shofar to continue to reverberate in our times. Yeah, you want to ask something? Jeremy, what do you want to ask?